Welcome to another episode of Discover ADN. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. The goal of Discover ADN is to learn more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people who use app.net to communicate with the world, as well as offer us a chance to attach a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timelines. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to DiscoverADN. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Mianda Nehwati, who goes by the name Jacaranda Chick on app.net. She's an entrepreneur and Chelsea fan who calls London, England her home and wants to make it a whole lot easier for people to discover sports-related information. Now, before we get started, I would like to warn you that sections of this episode do get a little Skypey from time to time. Such are the hazards when recording a conversation over the internet. So, without further ado, please join me in welcoming Mianda to Discover ADN. Hello!
Hey, Jason. Good morning.
And good morning to you. Let's get right down to business. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
So I first signed up for app.net in August 2012. So not long after the Kickstarter had launched, I think. And it was somebody's tweet that drew my attention. So I knew nothing about the background to what Dalton and Berg were interested in wanting to achieve. But as an active user, I think I went away after August and came back in October. October 2012 is really when I became a fully fledged daily disciple on app.net. Yeah, so it was kind of what struck me immediately was just, it was already this really engaging and really vocal community. And what was amazing was just, you could just slip right in. Like somebody had reserved a chair for you and said, oh.
Well, that's great. Can you tell us, why did you join app.net?
Well, it was at a time when I'd been on Facebook for maybe 2 or 3 years, and I'd literally been frog marched onto Facebook by my friends who were really tired of me and not being in the loop. And from Facebook, I sort of got into Twitter, but I wasn't really a natural social media person. And then there were just circumstances that made Twitter more important for me. So the time when I suddenly found that I had a lot more spare time, and so I just left my last job. And Twitter was a really great news source, and particularly, I'm a football fan, so particularly for connecting with other fans of Chelsea, which is the club that I support, Twitter was great for that. But that was only happening, I guess, you know, whenever there was a match on, and I was really looking for, I think, it just a new way of connecting and engaging with people. And app.net was maybe one of 3 other platforms that I looked at, and maybe one was Quark. I think I was also active on Mixel. And after Mixel closed down its social side, app.net really just stuck. It was sticky enough for me to hang around. So it really just fulfilled what I was looking for, which was a group of people to chat with whenever I showed up. And it's been that way for me ever since.
You use a pseudonym on app.net. Can you tell us where Jacaranda Chick comes from?
Well, I'm from Zimbabwe, and Jacaranda trees are a really distinctive tree back home. They have really beautiful flowers, violet to lilac, and Jacaranda season is just beautiful. You know, you've got avenues just lined with jacaranda trees. And there was just something about when I was looking for how I wanted to mark my presence in social media, I wanted something that kind of connected me to home, but not obviously so. And so it was just that, you know, wanting to keep that connection. And the name just, I don't really know where it came from, but I, as I say, I love jacaranda trees, I love jacaranda honey even more. And it just seemed to fit. So I'm Jacaranda Chick on Twitter, on app.net, my blog, mostly everywhere I am. So I'm not using my name Meander, and I'm using Jacaranda Chick.
Let me ask this next question. What would you like to see more of on app.net?
Oh, I really hope it sticks around. And it's so interesting to think about this now, because just a few months down the line from Dalton's State of the Union, I guess regarding app.net's certain current manifestation. And since that happened, the fight and the community on that site has gone through quite a bit of transition. And speaking for myself, I'm certainly, you know, not as active there as I used to be because of those commitments. So first of all, it seems really obvious that it needs more people to use it and to really be active there. And this is, I guess, a commentary on kind of 2 years of being part of a community. I think part of what app.net has that's really valuable is this really invested community. I would love to see in the future ADN really doing a lot more to nurture that, those kind of initiatives.
Let's change gears just a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
That's such a hard question. I think because it's always been very difficult for me to understand how people see me in a way. But I guess within the framework of app.net, I would say some of the things I'm definitely known for would be football. Probably another part of my identity there is that I'm part of the London contingent. I don't have much more to add to that as an answer. I just find it quite a difficult question to answer.
Okay. Well, let me ask you about your startup. So you are in the middle of starting a company in London. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Gladly. I think I mentioned already that I'm a huge football fan, and I have been a football fan since I was a little girl. And I support just the one club, which is Chelsea, and have done since I was 4 years old. So I had this experience a couple of years ago. I was watching the opening game of the Olympics, and England's women were playing New Zealand. And the only players that I could identify were the Chelsea women who were playing for England, and everybody else was just complete blank for me. And if I wanted to find out about everybody else, there's a certain amount of heavy lifting that I would have needed to do, either visiting their individual websites or just going on quite an extensive, laborious search. Our startup is called Kaleidoscope, and the concept really is sports discovery. And it's really a very simple search term, giving people really contextual results. Kind of like, you know, IMDb, it's very similar, you know, that's IMDb for sports. So you go on this really enriching search journey and discover, you know, primary source content as opposed to getting text and links and, you know, thousands and thousands of potential pages for you to click on. And it's about sports rather than just football, because we've been working in the last year on, you know, testing the startup thing and validating and experimenting. And the one thing that comes through loud and clear for us is search, and we want to do it in a way that involves audio and voice activation and just make it really seamless. That's in a nutshell.
Are there any particular sports that are more difficult to research than others?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question because, you know, how many sports are there in the world? And speaking to people in the States and speaking to people in Ghana and Tanzania, Australia, whatever's going on in the culture in terms of what that culture is, you know, has a primary sport, is really key to what people are looking for, obviously. But there are, you know, there are five or six that are sort of top of the list. And then there's all the stuff that's kind of on the periphery that is more niche. So, you know, fishing, angling, that's really difficult to research. And I'd say the same for the table tennis. So it kind of presents quite a unique opportunity to get that right. You know, we know where we are with football and cricket and baseball and basketball, but we know less about angling, as I say.
What kind of information do you show people when they do a search?
Yeah, so we're going for a real multimedia approach. There's some complexity there that we're still working on. But for me, and this isn't just building a product for my own needs, but in my experience, certainly within football culture, although there's this prevalence, increasingly so, for people to access stats as though that gives a complete picture about a player, really more interested in giving you knowledge that's more memorable. And that can be, you know, video, audio, as well as the text and links and images. So really making those results as varied as possible is, in terms of format, is something that we're aiming for.
Do you see this resource as being a tool that can be used by people participating in fantasy sports leagues?
Yes and no. I think you certainly could. But at the moment, that's not really our primary market. The reason being that, from what we've researched, certainly the big fantasy football leagues actually provide enough information for you to make the selections that you need to make. And our sort of primary user at the moment is somebody who actually isn't searching for information on a player or club or manager because they're about to place a bet or because they are selecting a fantasy team. It really is less about those motivations and more about, I need to know who that player is that is on that team that I know nothing about, or, you know, digging into the archives. So maybe you're asking because it seems like a natural application. Is that right? To, you know, for either fantasy sports or for betting.
Oh, I'm not so sure about betting, but in the case of fantasy sports, we might not know a lot about a particular player and their strengths against perhaps another person that we do know. And so this way we'd be able to research them.
A lot of the products that we've looked at tend to deliver a version of what we're thinking about, but quite honestly, less dynamic. The search is still typing in text, and quite frankly, the content tends to be coming from the same place. So, I can't speak to what you're seeing in Japan or even in the States, but certainly over here, a lot of the content that you see on big broadcasters or the sports publishers tends to be coming from one of two sources, and that's either OptiSports or Interstrada. And they all tend to be the same thing with the same content from the same place. There's very little difference between them, just, you know, repackaged and rebranded as either the platform or the channel needs it to be. And I've lost my train of thought, sorry, I'm a bit brain tired.
Ah, that's no problem. Let's move on to the final part of the show, and this is where we get to recommend some of the people we enjoy communicating with on app.net. So could you share with us three people who you regularly communicate with and why you enjoy talking with them?
Okay. Again, this was really difficult because my first impulse was to think of everybody that I communicate. Everybody that I communicate with in app.net. But then I thought, okay, so these are just three of the loveliest people that I speak to from time to time in app.net. And there are many, 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 many lovely people on that platform. First person who comes to mind is Joanna Castillo, who is in Austin, Texas, and is a huge sports fan, baseball. I know very little about baseball, but everything that I do know about baseball, I've learned from speaking to Joe, who goes to a lot of games, and is a Texas Horns fan. And I know I'm probably actually misnaming her team, but go Horns. And she listens to a lot of music and takes amazing photos. So she enriches my stream every day and is a real sweetheart. And I'll also recommend Conrad. Again, such a lovely individual. I love him, I think, because he always has time to chat. He's a very interesting person to speak to. Get on well with him, even though he's a developer. I say that tongue in cheek. but no, he's amazing as well. Really generous with his time, just generous of heart, which I really love about him. And thirdly, I'm going to recommend Stowen. You know, I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation. I've never really asked him about how to pronounce his name, but I think of him as Ralph, but he's actually Raphael Stowen. He's in Switzerland. Really engaging. I don't remember when he joined ADN, but it seems like he's there right from the outset. I know that's not the case. Really enthusiastic, and that I know he posts a lot. A charming young man. Really lovely to talk to.
All right. Well, those are some excellent recommendations. Thank you. And I'd also like to thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
And this concludes the 39th episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Mienda for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. Have a nice day.